The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin Alhassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Coming to you live from our houses in Los Angeles, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, who cut the cheese? Well, if it was done right, it was a cheesemonger. Carly Lisk, owner of Culture Beer and Cheese in Brighton, Michigan, is here to see if Paula can make some cheddar as a cheesemonger. Can Paula learn to slice the cheese, smell it, and sell it? We'll find out. Plus, Nobody Kelly Houseman placed the winning bid in an auction to raise money for Chris Everett Charities. Her prize? Getting to be on our podcast. Our prize? Exploring the mind of a nobody. Kelly Houseman, Coke or Pepsi, Mac or PC. Would you rather have a dog with a cat's mind or a cat with a dog's mind? We'll dig into the brain of a nobody, which means finding out more about all of us. I'm Adam Felber, the man who every week valiantly tries to keep our conversational cheese from being moved. And now, please welcome the woman who grates every topic into shreds and sprinkles it across the Dorito of our consciousness, Paula Poundstone!
Hey, you guys!
Hey, Paula.
Thank you so much. So nice to be back here with you. Thank you, Adam, and thanks to tonight's house band. He's a nobody, a director, and a euphonium player, Dustin Moberg from Caledonia, Minnesota. And hi, especially, in fact, I'm not even talking to Dustin right now. Hi, yeah? Dustin's daughter, Millie.
Hi, Millie.
Hi, Millie.
Hi, Millie.
Oh, everybody's here. The whole gang's here. Paula, what's new in Poundstoneville?
I think I came up with a cure for the COVID-19.
The COVIDs? How? What?
I got a cure for the COVID. Okay, so the other day, I was grocery shopping, you know, at the store that wouldn't hire me, but then later, while I was shopping over the PA, came an announcement saying if you'd like to work at Vons, please apply.
I'm glad that you didn't mention Vons' name. Go ahead.
No, because that's not necessary. So I was at the Vons that wouldn't hire me. And then, all right, so anyway, so I got down to the Kleenex and the toilet paper section, which usually is, you know, totally empty. But on this day, it wasn't totally empty. There was one box of Kleenex, and I got it. And it had a plastic, label over the top of the cardboard that said,
yes,
Kleenex kills 99.9% of cold and flu viruses. 99.9%. And then in smaller print, it said, in the tissue within 15 minutes. And then in smaller print, it said, if you boil the tissue. Now,
wait, what?
Couldn't we just inject Kleenex under the skin?
Yeah, and I think if we inject Kleenex under the skin and maybe strip down and take an ultraviolet light up our behinds, like the president recommends, we should be able to clear out all the COVIDs. All those COVIDs should be killed.
No, it doesn't have to be ultraviolet. Have you ever noticed that pigeons don't seem to have COVID-19? That's because they nest in the traffic lights. So if instead of going when the light turns green, if you just shove it up your butt, then that could be one way of curing the COVID. Anyways, I was so excited. My guess is, you know, they're not letting Fauci on television anymore. The government isn't. And so my guess is they're probably going to get rid of him entirely and bring me onto the coronavirus task.
Sounds like you've got it pretty much covered there. I mean, I have to say, I've always wondered about those mouthwashes that claim to eliminate 99.9% of bacteria.
Yeah, but that's only if you keep it in your mouth. If you swallow it or spit it out, it doesn't work.
Right, but what I'm asking is, if that's true, why do they provide those little individual sanitary paper cups with them?
What little individual?
I mean, if it really kills that much bacteria, shouldn't I be able to just drink it out of an old shoe or something?
Oh, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. Apparently the answer... This is sort of like in The Wizard of Oz. The answer is all around us. We just have to reach out and grab it, you know?
It was with us all along.
Right, precisely. I am so hoping that the solution is cat pee, because I am going to be...
Yeah.
My house will be packed with people, and we'll be able to hug each other and everything because, the protection, just my cats pee all over my house. And so there's not a square inch of my house that wouldn't kill the COVID.
That's good. I mean, between your Kleenexes and your cat pee, I think you are COVID free at this point.
Yeah. I just love that it says in big letters, kills 99.9% of cold and flu viruses. And then really you have to strain to see the small lettering where it says in the tissue within 15 minutes. Well, I wasn't concerned about the virus in the tissue. The virus where it's problematic is in me. The tissue,
but
I don't much care what happens to it.
Well, yeah, I guess I hear that.
Yeah. I mean, have I been using the tissue wrong? I just blow into it. It never occurred to me to somehow shove it into a part of my body.
I think that's more for people who are worried about those little bathroom trash cans becoming hotbeds of virus and disease.
No, it's for people that don't see very well. That's what it's for. They're counting on, when they have to, because the print is so small where it says in the tissue within 15 minutes.
I see.
That's why when I throw a tissue away, I just stand over the trash can and watch.
Because there's no danger.
No. At about 14 minutes, you can start to hear, and that's the virus dying.
I don't like viruses, but I always hate to hear them go like that.
Yeah.
I don't think they should suffer the way that they do in a Kleenex.
No, how come he can't just step on them? Oh, speaking of stepping on, it is big Logie fly season at the Poundstone House. Did I tell you that?
No, you didn't tell me. They're back.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You can literally step on them sometimes. That's how,
they really don't have a lot of survival mechanisms.
No, they're just slow and Logie, and you would think one of my cats might enjoy chasing one down and getting rid of it for me, but they don't.
So do you spend your days with a fly swatter now?
No, it's not even necessary. What I do is I take a Kleenex that's about 14 minutes into the process out of the trash can, and I smush it.
Hit
it
with a virus. Yeah.
Yeah. If I find a spider, I take it outside, right? Most bugs, but these big logy flies... Or a mosquito, or I guess a, what was the thing that we had the, what was the thing that we had the big infestation of termites?
Your termites? Yeah.
Yeah. When I had the termite mounds, I took no prisoners. I just got rid of those.
Yeah. I think that's probably fair.
Yeah. Termite mounds, you'd see in Africa.
Yeah. Yeah. Right behind your refrigerator.
They were behind my refrigerator. Yeah. It was like I'd gone on safari.
I like that we're sort of turning the beginning of this episode into a clip show.
You know what? It was worth reminiscing.
Remember when Paula found... You know, a number of our listeners claim to have been, like, physically sickened by that description.
Oh, is that true?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't hear it in mailbag.
Well, Tony Anita Hall, next week, can we do some mailbag?
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent. Really? Now, speaking of Tony Anita Hall...
You know, I was just telling it like it is. I'm not responsible for what took place. I did all I could to clear it up. Who was the guy that was upset because he said that I activated his gag reflex when I cut myself in half?
Oh, I don't remember who that was, but you did activate
Richard,
a gag reflex.
Maybe it was Richard. Yeah. You know, what's interesting to me is Richard just likes to lay blame. He doesn't look at himself and say, maybe I have a too active gag reflex. Maybe it's a little hair trigger.
It could be acid reflux.
Exactly. It doesn't have to be my fault.
No, it would sure be a hell of a coincidence, though, wouldn't it?
No, I don't think so. At the moment
that you're viscerally describing your bowels evacuating after cutting yourself in half, he also happens to have eaten a bad taco.
Again, that is not the language that I used.
Tony...
I don't remember.
I'm going to tell you that it was similar to that, but it wasn't that. I didn't use the word evacuated.
I think you used releasing.
I think you may have used releasing.
I did use releasing.
Yeah, what's your problem, Richard? She was just talking about her severed bowels releasing in the lower half of her body in
His
a hefty bag.
It's Ed.
Oh, it was Ed. Oh, yeah. Well, now that we've talked about him on air, he's actually gone on the witness protection program, and now his name is Richard.
Right. Well,
there were so many nobodies who so enjoyed talking about my bowels releasing that they're upset that Ed canceled the fun.
I gotta say, we have a lot of comments from nobodies on those great iTunes reviews that people are leaving. And by the way, keep leaving those. And also on our Facebook page, it's extremely active. And on Twitter. And I've never seen a single nobody step up and say that they love that description, Paula.
What description?
Of your bowels releasing.
Adam, ew, how could you say that?
Alrighty. On that note, Tony Anita Hall, how are you? What's new in Studio City or Sherman Oaks?
I'm good. I took the 3rd of July off, and I watched The Babysitter's Club.
You watched
The Babysitter's Club?
Yes. The new Babysitter's Club on Netflix. Highly recommended. It's a show
for all
ages.
Is that a series or a movie?
It's a series based on a series of books I read as a little girl. And it's
very
so
popular
good.
Series of books.
Very popular series. The new series on Netflix was awesome. So good. I loved
it.
Wow.
That's all I have to say.
Really?
It's updated for the times. They have a landline. It's so good.
So while the rest of the nation was enjoying finally getting their first $1,000 chance to see Hamilton, you were watching The Babysitter's Club.
Yes, I was. Don't knock until you've tried it. Don't knock until you've tried it.
I think I'll never be able to knock it then. Hey, moving along then. as long as we're going around the horn.
I was very excited to share that with the world. So you know what? Fuck you people. Fuck you people.
Oh,
oh my God. Wow. Tony Anita Hall.
How can you even... Tony Anita Hall, you have forgotten yourself. Tony, she's Adam Velma. You have pushed her to a place where she has gone off a rocker. I've never heard Tony Anita Hall speak such language before. She just a few minutes ago, she was speaking so lovingly of the Babysitter's Club, and now she has some foul gutter mouth language coming from my precious Tony Anita Hall.
Wow, but Tony, you have managed to scandalize your biggest fan, our resident Belle hand puppet, Mrs. Culpepper.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Culpepper. Well,
it's all right, Tony. I understand that sometimes I'm a little bit on edge because of the focus of today's first interview.
What? Oh, you mean the fact that we're having a listener on the show later?
No, it's not the listener. I'm excited to hear the listener. It's the other interview, the interview that you mentioned first.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about what's her name? Carly Lisk. She's a cheesemonger. Why would that be upsetting
to
anybody?
Yeah, she is. She's a cheesemonger. I'm a little.
Well, why would that be upsetting?
That's a sensitive subject.
Are you lactose intolerant, Mrs. Culpepper?
I'm not lactose intolerant. It's not that.
Oh. What is it then, if I may ask?
Well, I've had an incident in my background that is painful to remember, and the subject of cheese is difficult to speak of.
What on earth could that be? I mean, look, if you're not lactose intolerant, then why would cheese upset you unless you or somebody you loved happened to die of triotoxism or something?
That's exactly what happened, Adam Felba. Captain Culpepper passed away from a bout with tyrotoxism, which was a poisoning by a cheese or other dairy product, and it was a cheese.
It was a cheese, a bad cheese. Huh.
If your manga mentions the Gouda, I will leave the show.
Oh, why? Was it the Gouda that got him?
It was the Gouda that got him. That is correct, Adam Velma.
You know, I got to say, Mrs. Culpepper, I would look at every setback as an opportunity, and today's cheesemonger appearance might just be an opportunity for you to learn how to throw your next dinner party safely.
I don't serve cheese at a dinner party, Adam Felba. That would be like...
Oh, you don't?
No, that would be like Lizzie Borden sharpening her axe at an axe throwing party. No, I don't have dinner parties. Besides, now
terrible
I'm
analogy.
Stuck. Well, all right, it was not a great analogy. You're right about that. Besides, I'm stuck now at Paula Poundstone's house during the stay-at-home order.
All right. You know what? Speaking of somebody just kind of out of nowhere yelling "fuck you all," let's move on to Bonnie Burns.
Why don't you guys all go fuck yourselves?
Oh, there we go. Because I do feel like Tony was just kind of channeling you a moment ago, Bonnie Burns. How are you? What's new?
No, I was kidding. It's really good to hear you guys' voices. You know, things are good. I've gotten a lot of response, Adam, to my interview with you. And two nobodies went to Camp Colloqua.
No. Camp Colloqua?
Yeah, and a number of people... went on Facebook and posted that they also made bread, wrapped it around sticks, and roasted it over an open fire. No, I'm not kidding.
I know you're
Yes,
not.
I know.
But Bonnie, yeah, a lot of people did make bread over fires with dough wrapped around a stick. Many of them are elderly now because it took place during the encampments in the Great Depression.
Yeah, it was basically. I believe that kind of food is known as a Hoovertown delight. But for those of you who didn't actually listen to that episode, we were talking about summer camp experiences a couple of weeks ago, and apparently Bonnie Burns went to a place called Camp Colloqua, which is colloquial for something. And one of their main activities there was putting dough on a stick and roasting it over a fire.
Right. And
it was Camp Down and Out. And
yeah,
it was Camp Shantytown.
Yeah, they also learned how to cut fingerless gloves. Bindle sack tying 101. How to open a can of beans, and of course,
almost
boxcar
all
hopping.
The way. Not to open the can of beans all the way. That's important.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's of course that merit badge you get for stealing a pie off a windowsill when it's cooling.
No, and some people had their camp had cleverer ways to make the dough. Like I think one of them used like Bisquick mix or something. Biscuit mix.
They've used like biscuit mix
made up for them.
Yeah.
So it wasn't so unusual, is one of my points. Okay.
Not in the 30s, it wasn't.
It wasn't the 30s. Okay. And here's another thing. Remember I told you like Wohilo? Well, one person wrote in, here's the easy thing. Wo is work.
Wait.
He is health. And lo is love. Work, health, love.
Yes. Huh. In fact, just so everybody knows, at
Wohilo.
At Bonnie's hobo camp, they used to say Wohilo.
It wasn't a hobo camp.
At the end of a night. As they were all bedding down in the straw in their boxcars.
they called out Wohilo to one another.
They would yell Wohilo at one another. And a couple of our astute listeners were able to determine that that wasn't so much a Native American word as it was sort of a girls club contraction for, what was it, Bonnie? You just said it. It was
work, health,
work,
love.
Health, love.
Work, health, and love. Wohilo. Yes.
Yeah.
Wohilo.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's been modified this year to unpaid work, health, love.
yes. It's internship, health, love.
One of the activities that the kids just loved, and I'm sure you got a lot of Facebook response on this, Bonnie, was the thing of finding cigarettes by the sidewalk that were had been smoked.
Not
almost
completely smoked.
To the end.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also, oh my gosh, this was something that kids looked for. Like when they left camp, they cried because they weren't able to do this activity for a little while, which is when they would fold up the newspaper inside their shoe
right.
to cover the hole in the sole. The kids loved that. They loved that.
Yeah. And then that fun merit badge that you could earn for selling apples for a nickel a piece.
Oh, that was fantastic. They did love that. Yeah. 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 So I'm glad people were able to respond to that.
Yeah. No, they said that I brought back a lot of familiar memories for them.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. No, I noticed that they said familiar memories, but not fond memories.
I think there was.
Not treasured memories.
I think there was fond was in there a couple of times.
No. In all seriousness, your reminiscences of your summer camp did get a lot of response from our listeners. And one day soon, we'll read some of them during Mailbag.
Oh, I can't wait.
Mailbag. My favorite.
Me neither, Tony.
Yeah. Do you know, I was the other day, and I'm not proud of this, but I was Zooming with Bonnie. So we were on a Zoom call. And she was in a chair, but she slowly slid down the chair during the conversation because she's not used to being upright. And so eventually you could just sort of see up her nose and the top of her head.
Yeah, for those of you who haven't been following it closely, as far as we can tell, Bonnie has spent about 95% of this four-month stay-at-home order either in bed or on the couch downstairs.
Yeah. Well, at Hobo Camp, they used to call her non-ambulatory Bonnie.
Right.
Okay, once
when now I want you to grab these mashed potatoes and bring them to the horizontal girl over there.
Okay, once when I was like 15... I think I was like mad at my parents or something. I went to like a convenience place in my car and I ate like 3/4 of a bag of cookies. And I remember sitting there and going, oh my God, I just ate 3/4 of a bag of cookies. Who does that? And then like today I thought,
I do.
Oh good, I don't feel so badly. But back then I didn't know you. And, you know, I was 15 or 16. So today I thought, you know, I think it's been, I've washed my hair twice since March. And then like,
wow.
Who does that? I really do. Like, I could give information about that.
Yeah, that's
no. I think we should have ended the segment where you talk about 5 minutes ago. I don't think we need to know about your childhood shame about eating cookies in a car, and however that's related to you not washing your hair.
No, it's related because like.
Save this for your own podcast.
You get it, right, Paula?
No,
it's like the same thing. Like, who goes since middle of March and only washes her hair twice? It's embarrassing.
You know, here's what I recommend, and I really I want to say two things. One is that honesty may be overrated, and the other thing,
gotta agree with you on that.
Yeah, and the other thing, you know, you could be honest, but not offer up information that wasn't asked, I guess. But one thing you might want to do is take some Kleenex and just put it over your head.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That'll keep that hair fresh. I got to say, Bonnie,
well,
I can top you because
it kills 99.9% of cold and flu viruses. And
that's true.
Right. Wow. So it's got to be good for your hair.
But I got to
tell you,
I can
absolutely top you, Bonnie, because about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I washed my hair.
He doesn't have any hair.
No, I'll have you know, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I washed my hair with shampoo for the first time in 14 years.
Wow. What
hair? And I've done it since then again. Huh?
What hair?
She's right. You don't have any hair.
Well, I do now. I started shaving or clipping my hair really close a long time ago. So for the first time in a long time, I've grown my hair out because why the hell not, as long as we're all staying at home.
So there is some, but you shave it. Oh, I thought your daughter had gotten you a membership to Cy Sperling's Hair Club for Men.
No, nothing that great.
Oh, okay. All right. So I was assuming that you actually didn't have hair anymore, but you've been cutting it close, clipping it. Shaving it. You've been doing it.
Actually,
like
for the last decade,
White
I've been shaving
thing.
My head. Yeah, I've been shaving my head in the shower for years.
Oh.
Huh. I didn't know that.
And now I have hair that's, you know, kind of shaggy. It's long.
Really? You need to post a picture. I want
Do
to see
I?
That.
It ain't pretty. But yeah.
Do you notice how
doing.
None of us said that to you, Bonnie, when you said you've only washed your hair twice since March? No one wants you to post a picture.
You know what? There's a point at which it just goes back to looking normal. That's the part you guys don't know.
No, there's a point at which you think
it's
normal.
That's the part I really
normal.
Didn't want to hear. Oh.
You
yes,
know,
there's a part
you know
at which there's a time at which it starts to be so weighed down by grime that it looks straight again. Yes.
It doesn't look like that. It's fine. I don't see anybody. What difference does it make?
You know what? This is a perfect like audio resume for you to be a camp counselor at Camp Hobo next summer.
You know, I just got to say that like if Ed decided to come back after the bowels thing and listen to our show again. I hope you've learned your lesson now.
Yeah, no. I think we've lost Ed entirely. Hey, by the way,
Paula, do you have a word for us?
I yeah. do, but before Me I tell too. You that, I did you just say thank you, Tony? Before I tell you that, I want to mention that we do still have the 100th caller contest, so please keep those calls coming in. The 100th caller. Nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. Can receive any appliance they want for free from Roger Federer's appliance store over on Miranda Street, and also a chance to hang out with Adam after the game. By the way, Adam, did you see somebody put up on Twitter a thing about Roger Federer? Apparently, he's not going to play tennis this year. So I was right. I kept saying, you go, he doesn't have an appliance store. And I said, he does. And you go, no, he makes so much money playing tennis. And I said, no, tennis doesn't go on forever. And so I was right.
So wait, just because you predicted that an athlete would someday no longer be a pro athlete, which has happened to every athlete ever, that makes you right about Federer's alleged store?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. I just wanted to be clear what you were taking credit for here. That's fine. Yeah.
I wasn't sure that you would be able to graciously accept that you were wrong, but that was really good. You know, this is going to knock you over with a feather when I tell you that I have a word.
Wow.
Yeah. It's revivify.
Revivify.
Revivify. It's a verb that means give new life or strength to someone or something. Here, I'll use it in a sentence. I know that I am lucky to have nobody's revivify my spirits after life slaps me in the face with the cold dead fish of reality all week.
Well, that's good.
Revivify.
I have two comments before we go on, because I sense and dread that we're going on to your vocabulary song, which I, of course, love. But I'm, A, surprised that you didn't know the word revivify. And, B...
I'm full of surprises, Adam.
I'm unclear as to the difference between revivify and revive.
I think revivify is more fun to say.
Okay, point taken. Hit it!
Yeah. You know, and Adam...
And a 1, 2, 3, 4.
There's poems and songs that... this week's word is revivify. It's a verb that means give new life or strength to someone or something. It happens when you eat a ring ding. Last week's word was parlous. It's an adjective from old use or humor. It means dangerously uncertain, precarious, like a maskless idiot with the virus. The week before that, we had incommodious. It's an adjective that means causing discomfort or inconvenience, like when the meter maid doesn't show any lenience. Going back before that, we had casuistry. It's a noun that means the use of clever but false reasoning. It's not wrong to eat meat if you use seasoning. And not long ago, we had augury. It's a noun that means a sign of what will happen in the future, an omen. After the Seder, the kids are going to find the Afikoman. Let's never forget gallimafry, which I pronounced wrong until nobody James Hyder corrected me. It's a noun that means confused jumbler medley of things. Hodgepodge, who's podge, hodgepodge. Adam doesn't think my song is replicable, but I do.
Wow. All right. Not for nothing, Paula. I think you might have mispronounced gallimafry there again.
Oh, I did. You're right. Gallimafry. My mistake. Yeah. Oh, my God. Sorry, James Hyder. You know, I relapsed. That's what happened.
You're
absolutely right. It rolls off my tongue as gallimafry, but you're right. It's gallimafry. Whew, boy. Right. Thanks for saving me on that one.
No problem, Paula Pounds.
I was going to be in pronunciation jail.
Absolutely. And believe me, our listeners, many of whom come from the world of public radio, would not forgive that very, very easily.
Oh, no. They would rather hear me talk about my bowels releasing after I was cut in half than hear me say
not necessarily. Well,
except for Ed.
I feel like that might be stretching. Well, yeah, except for Ed.
Except for Ed, who doesn't give a shit how words are pronounced.
We don't know that.
You can only die on one hill, Adam.
Technically, that is true.
Hello, Adam Philbert. It is our friend Trump announcing to you, nobodies, that I will answer all the fake news questions correctly at another French Trump presidential press conference mini podcast that drops each week on Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time and 2 p.m. Pacific Time. There's a 3-hour time difference, which I calculated with new computer and new scratch paper because I am a very stable genius.
Well, we all look forward to that, French Trump. Anyway, everybody, coming up, Charles de Gaulle said, how can you govern a country which has 246 varieties of cheese? He had a point, but we have a genuine cheesemonger who will help us dig into at least some of those varieties of fromage when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Hey, everybody. As longtime listeners know, when Helix Mattresses first started sponsoring our show, Bonnie Burns somehow got the drop on me and made off with the first mattress. But in the intervening years, I have gotten myself a Helix mattress. I've had it for almost a year now, and it has improved my sleep. It has improved my life. I could not be happier. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, which I have, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, which is a mattress designed just for big and tall sleepers, and they even have mattresses made just for kids. Now, if you're like me and you were a little nervous about trying it online, or like Paula, who was screaming in fear of buying a mattress online, don't be. The Helix Sleep Quiz takes into account your individual sleep preference to match you and your partner with the perfect mattress. I took the quiz and I ended up with the great mattress for a side sleeper, the Helix Midnight Lux. Take my word for it, everybody. The Helix Midnight Lux.
Oh, don't want to take Adam's word for it. I don't blame you. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Paula, I invited you over, but you fell asleep. HelixSleep.com/Paula, and if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code. On this day in unremarkable history, Mary Travers of Peter, Paul, and Mary said, no, I'm not rehearsing. I saw a bug. Ew.
Thank you, house band Dustin Moberg.
Thank you, Dustin. And I hope Millie is enjoying the show. She'd better be listening. God damn it.
Paula, you know, performance venues are closed, and that makes things tough for, people in the arts, especially comedians.
Yeah, not so much painters, I think you'll find.
Yeah, they have an easy time.
Yeah, yeah. Or people who like sew, or...
Yes.
Even singers, because they can do it from their house.
Well, to
an
extent.
It's a huge problem, Adam.
Yes.
Because that's how I make my living. So I'm looking for a new job. One of our nobodies suggested this, by the way. Someone said, Paula, you should become a cheesemonger.
A cheesemonger?
Yeah.
Now, why did somebody suggest that?
I have no idea.
Do you love cheese?
I do like cheese. I try to eat vegan, so I eat fake cheese now. Occasionally, I cheat and have real cheese. I try not to bother cows, though. Look, maybe it's a way to make a living. Maybe this is someone who was really hoping I would get off stage anyways. Maybe this is a new form of taunting. Like instead of throwing tomatoes or yelling, you suck, they go, you should be a cheesemonger.
An excellent, excellent heckle. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
That's a high quality heckle. If you're out there listening when they're, When the comedy venues do open up and you're seeing a comedian and that comedian sucks, feel free to yell, have you considered cheesemongering?
So that may have been the genesis of the suggestion. I'm really not certain.
Well, that's fine. Well, you know, fortunately, we have a professional cheesemonger here who can tell you whether you have what it takes to become a big cheese in the world of fromage.
Oh, I hope she doesn't. I just hope she doesn't.
Oh, Mrs. Culpepper, you're just going to have to sit back and pretend it ain't happening. Yes, it's time for Career Corner, where we learn about the wide world of jobs. Would you like to be a fireman? How about a train engineer? Maybe you'd like to make a living as a spot welder. What can you do with your life? Career Corner has the answer. This week, let's explore a career as a cheesemonger. And here to help Paula discover if she could cut it in the stressful, high-stakes world of cheesemongering, it's the co-owner of Culture Beer and Cheese in Brighton, Michigan, Carly Lisk.
Yay. Hi, hi Paula, hi Adam. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. We really appreciate it.
We really do. Let's start with the basics, Carly. What's a cheesemonger?
Well, a cheesemonger is basically someone who, at the basic level, sells cheese. But even more specifically, someone who lovingly takes care of and thoughtfully sells cheese to other people.
So you're not just throwing slices of craft at people.
Exactly. So cheese is a living object, so it changes as it sits in the case. So we regularly have to, you know, unwrap it, cut it apart, look at it, smell it, taste it, of course, make sure it's still good, and it changes a lot. So it's going to change the flavor as it goes on.
Wow.
And so we're also kind of storytellers, and so that's why I think, Paula, you could definitely be a cheesemonger.
In what way are you storytellers?
So this is one of my favorite parts about being a cheesemonger, is because you're not just throwing a piece of cheese at somebody and saying, here, taste this, it's from a sheep.
No, that would be a cheese thrower.
Exactly. But telling people more about where that cheese came from, the farm it came from, what breed of cow or goat or sheep it came from, how the cheesemaker came upon this recipe. There's a lot of little details that we don't always think about when we just pick something up at the local market.
That's absolutely true.
I've never thought about it. Never even. It's this idea that it's a live thing. Never really occurred to me either. I mean, so isn't it like a mold or something to begin with?
Is cheese a mold?
Not to begin with. To begin with, you do need a culture or a starter or something that's going to help coagulate the milk and help separate the curds from the whey. And then later on, you can introduce molds if you're talking about anything from
like a blue meat.
Like a blue cheese, especially, you think of that blue mold, which is called penicillin roqueforti. But even like a brie cheese, that white stuff on the outside is a mold.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was packaging.
It is. It's a natural packaging.
Do you eat the white stuff on the outside, or do you not eat that stuff on the white from the outside?
You are supposed to eat the stuff on the outside. It is a personal choice. So if you don't, you know, don't feel bad about it. But in our minds, the cheesemongers are judging you for not eating that rind on the outside.
Okay, you're judging us.
When I do eat cheese, I love brie, and I do eat the outside of the brie, even though I thought it was packaging. I just ate the packaging. I hate waste. But do you
waste
know?
Waste not, want not.
Exactly. Do you know who won't eat the packaging on the outside of the brie, the natural packaging, is people who won't wear masks. I've seen them interviewed at a rodeo the other day, and they said, we're Americans, and we get to make choices about what we do. And so, boy, you cannot force them.
My cheese, my choice! My cheese, my choice! Get your government hands off my cheese!
Yeah. Remember when the government was offering cheese? It was when Reagan was in office. Didn't he offer, like, poor people cheese?
Government
cheese is a thing. I don't think it was specifically a Reagan thing. Do you want to talk about that, Carly?
I don't know too much about government cheese, I'm afraid. I kind of specialize in artisanal cheese, but I assume they gave it out because it was something that they could easily make, and it was very nutritious.
Excellent.
Is it very nutritious, Carly?
It is. Cheese actually has a lot of vital vitamins and nutrients that you need. It also releases little neurotransmitters that go up to your brain, and they release dopamine, which makes you happy, and adrenaline, and epinephrine.
Like chocolate.
like chocolate, the protein in cheese called casein is related to the opioid family. So it's definitely going to make you happy.
I didn't know that. And so the opioid crisis was caused by sheep?
That's absolutely not.
This might be a way of solving it. I don't know if anyone's looked into it. Maybe high quantities of cheese would help.
So how, Carly, how did you become a cheesemonger? How does one go about doing this? What's the educational process?
I sort of fell
You don't into have it. To answer that as a light opera, by the way, but you can. Because that's the kind of question that should lead to a Gilbert and Sullivan type, you know, like, when I was a girl, just a little though. You know, but
I would like that.
Yeah, I didn't prepare a full song, but I was a former entertainer. So I was a theater background. Theater wasn't quite doing it for me in New York City. And I wanted to do something in food. I knew food made me happy and I could make other people happy. And a friend came to me and said, hey, I work at this restaurant. They have a job at their cheese counter and you would be perfect because you actually like talking to people and you seem to be interested in food and this could be the perfect thing for you. And I kind of lied my way through the interview and I got hired and I studied very, very quickly. And studying about cheese is eating. So that was kind of amazing.
Wow.
When your friend said you seem to be interested in food, did you have your head like in a big can of something at that moment? I'm not sure that's a complimentary thing to say to somebody. You seem to be interested in food.
We were working at a restaurant together, so it was kind of a natural jump. I wasn't just walking around with my like horse trough flung around my neck.
All right, so when you said that you learned, did you like Google cheese or something? Like when you first went to the interview, Did you look stuff up before you went, or you just got there and sort of BS'd your way through?
No, I totally looked stuff up before I went. I was working at an Italian restaurant at the time that had a small cheese list, so I memorized everything that was on that list. And I went to the interview and I said, "Oh well, I only know Italian cheese because that's what I'm working with."
Oh, that's great.
I was the maitre d' at that restaurant. I wasn't even like a waiter or in the kitchen, so I really BS'd. But that's where my theater degree came in handy. So,
Fantastic.
Never say your theater degree doesn't come in handy, people, because it does.
Remember when you went in, kind of shimmying your elbows back and forth from your hips, saying, "If I were a cheesemonger, because that's where your theater background really came in.
Had you done that?
Do I love cheese? Do I love cheese?
I'm sorry. I'm a Jewish cheesemonger. I've done so many productions of Fiddler. Yes.
Oh, is that true? See, I knew that was the background.
Is this the Gouda that I carried? Is this the little Brie that played?
You had to say Gouda, didn't you, Adam Felber? You just had to say Gouda.
We've opened up a can of worms here, and I will try to put them back in the can. We have a popular hand puppet character on this show named Mrs. Culpepper, whose husband...
You had Mrs. Culpepper on your show. I'm leaving. Nobody listens to Paul. Yes. You could have chosen any cheese, any fromage, but you had to say Gouda.
Well, I wanted to approach the problem forthright. And it leads to an important question, Mrs. Culpepper, that I would like to ask Carly. Carly, have you encountered tyrotoxism?
Toxic cheese?
What? Yes.
Oh, no. I'm confused, Mrs. Culpepper. Could you explain yourself further?
I can, Carly. I'd be happy to do so only in the most academic of terms. Tyrotoxism, Carly, is a poisoning by a cheese or other dairy products, and it can be lethal. And it is my husband, my dearly departed Captain Culpepper, passed from such. A poisoning.
Oh, well, that is something to be concerned about. There are listeria outbreaks that happen from time to time, but nothing that happens too frequently. Luckily, our FDA does a pretty good job of keeping that in check.
Well, this tyrotoxism, as far as I understand it, and I don't want to speak for Mrs. Culpepper, and I also realize that this must be the singularly most weird interview you've ever been part of, Carly, but
yeah.
My understanding is that certain cheeses become toxic if you leave them out too long above room temperature.
Well, with most soft cheeses, you don't want to leave them above, you know, at 70 degrees or above for longer than 4 hours, because that is when extra bacteria can start to grow in effect. And they'll certainly change the flavor, and maybe it'll hurt your little tummy if you eat them when they're like that.
What, your little tummy? He died, Carly. He died.
All right. Well, but Mrs. Culpepper, I want you to just kind of repair to your fainting couch for a moment, because we do have other things to get to with Carly.
So, Carly, how did you feel about the I Love Lucy episode when she brings the cheese home from Europe?
Carly, you are under no obligation to pretend to remember that. This is not a job
interview. Thank you very much. I'm glad for that. I think imported cheese is delicious. Good job, Lucy. I don't know, Paul.
You know,
and
what?
How Carly, often are you asked to,
it's
to
such
quote?
A funny episode. I'm surprised. Isn't it shown at the beginning of every cheesemonger conference? Don't they show it on the big screen before people begin to share their cheesemonger stories?
That's not the one that comes up. The one that most often comes up to me as a cheesemonger are people trying to quote the Monty Python cheese
sketch. I knew it. It's a great sketch.
All the time.
Huh. Let me ask you this question, because I feel it's called for right here, which is, do the cheesemongers ever scrimmage with the fishmongers?
No, those two smells would just clash so badly together that we stay very far apart.
They don't hang out. Is that the only mongers? Are there other
fear mongers?
Oh, fear
mongers. But they're not in the same line.
Oh, yeah, well, I wanted to ask about that, because fear mongers and war mongers seem to be a sort of a very different use of the word monger. I mean, you're obviously a little bit judgmental, but you're not trying to terrorize the populace into eating cheese.
Right.
But what does monger mean?
So there's the definition of which I am, which is a dealer or a trader or a salesman of, like cheesemonger or fishmonger. And the other one is more like a spreader of ideas.
Oh.
So I guess in that way, I'm spreading my ideas of cheese onto you, and I'm pushing my cheese ideals at you.
Oh, man. I used to be a joke monger. What size batches does cheese come in? Like how do you guys get it at your restaurant? Does a big cheese truck pull up?
Yes, I get a big cheese truck, and I can get anything from full wheels. Most of the time, that's what you do. There are some cheeses.
When you say
that,
a full wheel, what does that look like? How big is it?
That depends on the cheese. If you think of a Manchego, you are familiar with a wheel of Manchego or the cheese Manchego?
No.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Adam. Spanish sheep's milk, those come in wheels that are about 6 to 7 pounds, so about eight inches in diameter. But then there's cheeses like Gruyere or Parmesan that come in 80-pound wheels.
Oh, my gosh. So how do you get the 80-pound wheel in the refrigerated section there?
And does it have anything to do with the word wheel?
Yes, you would roll it. You would cut
really?
It before you put it in the fridge.
Well, what do you do with the rest of it?
I'm lucky enough to buy quarter wheels. You store it and then you sell it. Or you can I do in quarter wheels, because I'm not strong enough to lift 80 pounds.
Yeah.
Because I'm one woman.
Oh, okay, are you the littlest cheesemonger?
I'm average size, but I can't lift 80 pounds. My goodness.
Okay, I hear you.
Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever worked a double shift and then been constipated for a week?
I am very fortunate. That has never been an issue that's affected me. So I don't understand what the rest of the world has to say about that.
Listen, I have a glaucoma, and my eye doctor actually told me not to eat cheese.
That's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. Listen, Carly, one bite of, what was that one you asked me if I knew about?
Manchego?
Yeah, one bite of manchego, I go blind. How about that?
I wouldn't want you to go blind, but
no.
I mean, it might be better than vegan cheese.
Now, almost anything is better than vegan cheese. I only
heartily agree with that.
I eat it out of sheer guilt, not because. All right, so what? Is there a way to know if cheese is good without eating it?
You could certainly use your other senses. So you could look at it and see if the color looks good, if there's any discoloration, obviously, mm-hmm. if there's any visible mold. Mm-hmm. I would say smelling, but obviously there are some cheeses that are supposed to smell bad while still tasting very good. So that's not always the most reliable. But if it smells like ammonia or cat pee, that might mean it's at the end of its life or possibly already gone. And then by like touch, if it's a softer cheese like a mozzarella that's supposed to be kind of springy and squishy, but it feels almost kind of slick or slimy, that mm. means it's time to go.
Oh, and okay. What about the blue cheeses? Because they're made of mold. Do they grow bad molds too? And how do you tell the difference?
They do. And the mold is just a different color blue. I have to say, to the trained eye, I think we know what we're looking for. But I think even if you're at home and you find a piece of blue cheese that's been in the back of your fridge for a month and you open it up, even you, I think, would tell the difference between a kind of a fluffier, more papery looking mold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That makes sense.
It makes total sense. I'm a huge cheese fan, so yes.
When I find a blue cheese, I try to cheer it up. All right, now, what's your favorite cheese, Carly?
So some of my favorites are triple creams. There's one from France called Delice de Bourgogne that's really, really soft, very rich. It's basically like salted butter that you can just eat with a spoon.
Now, is that a kind of brie?
It is. So they're in the brie family. They have the same kind of white mold on the outside like you would have on a brie, the same kind of rind.
Mm-hmm.
But a higher butter fat content. The term triple cream means that it has 70% or more butter fat.
This sounds right up my alley, sadly.
What else?
Wait a minute. There's a brie family?
You have breeds of dogs or cats. The cheeses all come in different family styles as well. So you have fresh cheeses like ricotta and mozzarella. We have soft cheeses like brie family or soft or goat cheeses, and then semi-firm, firm, aged, blue, washed rind. You have to stop me here. I'll just keep talking about cheese.
No. I love it. But that's true, because when I want to use a Parmesan cheese, for example, I notice that my choices involve Parmesan cheese and Romano cheese and Pecorino, whatever that is. And and what's all going
on
with that?
Wait a minute. Back up. You don't know what Pecorino is?
Well, I know it tastes a lot like Parmesan, if I remember correctly.
Pecorino is something that Joe Pesci said in Goodfellas.
Hey, get out of here, Pecorino.
That's exactly right.
What are you, some kind of Pecorino?
Do I look, am I funny, Pecorino? All right, no, Carly, I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Well, Pecorino Romano is very similar to Parmesan. They're both firm, dry, salty, aged cheeses from Italy. The main difference would be that Pecorino is made from the sheep's milk, or pecora. So pecorino would mean like a little sheep or like a little sheep farmer. So anytime you see that word, you know that it's going to be sheep's milk and not cow's milk.
Interesting. We interrupted you, a thousand times, but most recently, while you were telling us what some of your favorite cheeses, we didn't get past triple cream.
Past the triple cream. One of my other all-time favorites, I'm really sad they don't import it into the U.S. anymore, but it's a little sheep's milk called Abbaye de Belloc, and it's made by Benedictine monks in the French Pyrenees, and they've been making this cheese since the 1500s, and it is absolutely gorgeous. It's semi-firm in texture, kind of, you can slice right through it, but it melts on your tongue, and it has this flavor of brown sugar toasted apricots. It's so amazing. And 3, maybe 4 years ago, they were getting fed up with the U.S.'s restrictions, and they were just like, you know what? We're so tired of dealing with the FDA. Get out of here. No more cheese for you.
Pissed off a bunch of monks?
Honestly, you wouldn't think Benedictine monks would come down that hard on people, huh?
But there's another, a very, very famous similar cheese called Ossolirati that does come to the States. 2 years ago, it took first prize at the World Cheese Awards. So it's
Wait
out there.
A minute.
People
there,
know it's good.
There are World Cheese Awards?
Yes, there are so many cheese awards.
Oh,
it's hard
my
to
God.
Keep up.
I would so love to host the World Cheese Awards.
You'd be a fantastic host. I'll sign you up.
Nothing would
next
give
time.
Me more pleasure. I mean, I couldn't eat it or I'll go blind right there on the spot. But,
wow, I want you to host the World Cheese Awards too.
And there's an American one too that happens every summer, usually happens every summer. I think it's been canceled, but called the American Cheese Awards.
So, and when people receive it, do they cry and shit and say, I couldn't do this alone?
If they're good farmers, they bring their animals up on stage with them because they should really be the ones receiving the award. But
oh
yeah,
my
generally.
God, that would be such a great speech.
Yes.
You know?
Well, in Monty Python's Life of Brian, we learned blessed are the cheesemakers. Now, we'll see if Paula can join those holy ranks when we return. The cat of the week is Archie from Livermore, California. And we're back on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone with cheesemonger Carly Lisk. Carly, this has been so fun so far.
Yeah, it has been.
Now, Carly, do you make cheese?
I don't. And I sort of feel bad about that, but not really, because my general joke about that is that cheese making is mostly science and cleaning, and I don't really want to spend all my time doing either.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you're off the hook then. Now, let me ask you this. So you've been a cheesemonger for 10 years. When did the cut the cheese jokes first get really old for you?
About 2 weeks in.
Yeah.
It is incredible how often people will go to that. And I was working at a really high-end counter in a nice Manhattan restaurant, and people just are crazy with the fart jokes.
Yeah.
Wow. Just shocks me that anyone would think that's funny. But then again, the Monty Python thing is a little shocking that people would still do that, knowing that you're in a profession where you hear that all the time.
Yeah. And when I first started and I wasn't familiar with that sketch, people would be like angry at me for not playing along with them.
Oh, so, yeah. And for you, playing along with them just means telling them that you don't have things, right?
Yes, precisely.
It's a good sketch. It's a good sketch.
I have to admit that I flared up a little bit when I realized that you hadn't ever seen that I Love Lucy episode. So I kind
triggered
of understand
you.
Those people.
I'm going to go Hulu that right now.
Paula. Oh, you've got to. It's so funny. Plus, it's I Love Lucy.
Now, let's get to really cutting the cheese. Because do you have any rules of thumb about, like, if we're having people over and we have cheese, how should we cut various cheeses not knowing as much as you do, oh cheesemonger?
Well, first off, I would say ask the cheesemonger that you're buying it from, because you can certainly, you know, go to your local supermarket and grab some stuff there. But if you're at a nicer market or you have a small independent shop in your area, definitely go to them, because they're going to be, like I am, a wealth of knowledge. And they will literally, you can ask them, how should I cut this and present this? And they will tell you. But the most important thing, it doesn't matter what it looks like, is how it tastes. And cheese should always be served at room temperature.
Oh,
so
I didn't
take your cheese out of the fridge 20 to 30 minutes, maybe even longer if you have a really cold house before you serve it, because you want to be able to taste it.
You know, I've had a bad experience with that. I remember one time I was at 7-Eleven and I was getting the nachos and I was just about to put the cheese on top of it. of the chips. And I said to the guy, how should I do this? And he just stared at me.
You know, that's going to lead to a question that I do want to ask about, which is, let's take a minute and talk about melty cheeses. Now, this is just a very personal question. It has nothing to do with Paula's upcoming career. But I've recently started making Julia Child's, one of her many, recipes for French onion soup. And I'm using all these different melty cheeses and trying to find the best ones for that. Currently, I'm using a mixture of about half Fontina and half Gruyere. What do you recommend for melty cheeses on something like French onion soup?
Well, Gruyere is the classic. So anything from that family, like you said, you also do Fontina, which is from the Italian Alps, Comté from the French Alps. Anything made at that kind of elevation is going to melt really well and have a really nice, sharp, nutty flavor. One of my favorites.
So it's about elevation. I'm sorry. Go ahead. And then I'll ask about elevation. Go ahead.
Or you can just hold it up high.
I brought up elevation because that's going to affect the flavor and how those cheeses are made, not necessarily their meltiness, but just the flavor wise. But one of my favorite domestic cheeses to melt is actually from your guys' area, from California. It's the Point Reyes Toma. And it's a really beautiful, buttery, semi-firm cow's milk cheese that's sort of if you crossed a baby Hugouda with a Havarti, and it melts gorgeously.
And a corgi. Carly, is there cheese snobbery? Like if I was having, A, if I had friends, B, if I could have them over, would there be something that I could particularly impress my friends with if I was like, oh, have you tried the cheese? What would it be?
Well, that definitely depends on your friend circle, because if you have a group of food snobs, I would say anything French and washed rind, or even some of the more domestic washed rinds that are bark wrapped, like Harbison out of Vermont or the Rush Creek Reserve out of Wisconsin. Those are kind of more buzzy, trendy cheeses that'll kind of, you know, have the food world excited. But if it's just, you know, if I'm just trying to impress my grandparents, something as simple as a Limburger might do.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Limburger was made famous in the 20th century in cartoons as being maybe the stinkiest cheese in the world. Is that true?
I think it's true that it was made famous for that, but I don't think it's true that it's the stinkiest, at least not the ones that they send over here to the States. We have way funkier French cheeses than just Limburger.
All right, now I have an important question for you, and given what's gone before, I want you to answer this very carefully. Have you ever seen Abbott and Costello's Whodunit with the scene where they're the short order cooks and there's a Limburger cheese sandwich ordered?
No, I haven't.
Oh, for Christ's sakes.
Hey, Paula, take it easy.
You're not even a cheese
monger. No, step back. No, I'm going to break you two up.
I can't believe you don't know the I Love Lucy. You don't know the, oh, my heavens.
He's going apoplectic on you, and I apologize. I apologize for my partner's behavior.
It's no wonder you didn't graduate from Cheesemonger University.
True.
Oh, man. Cheesemonger U. And they had the best football team. All right. And all right, here's an important question. If the chips were down, can you even imagine? If the chips were down and I had to fill in for you, what are the top three things you would tell me before I, you know, got behind the cheese counter?
I would tell you to be careful with a knife, first of all. I don't know your skills.
Right.
Well, you know, I cut myself in half a couple of weeks ago. Don't ask Ed about it. All right, so you tell me to be careful with the knife, and then what else would you tell me, Carly?
Be careful with the knife. Get people samples. You can tell people flowery words all day long, but they're not going to get the same experience as if they actually taste that cheese. So get a sample in their hand and in their mouth. And have fun and be engaging and tell a good story.
So, like, I give somebody a sample, and then I say, you see that spot over there on the floor? And they go, yeah. And I go, I dropped that cheese over there a few minutes ago. And then I tell them a little story about how I dropped the cheese.
That's one way to do it.
No, it's obviously not the way to do it.
That's an engaging little
Very
cheese story.
Very nice of you,
Thank
but
you. Thank you for sharing that cheese story.
I can't believe that. Well, she's the co-owner of Culture Beer and Cheese in Brighton, Michigan. Thank you so much, Carly Lisk, for helping Paula learn how to get cheesier.
Thank you guys for having me.
Okay, now, Paula, what have you learned about cheesemongering, and could you do that job?
All right, house band Dustin Moberg, if I could have a little background music from your terrific euphonium. Thank you. I think I could go from jokemonger to cheesemonger, were it not for that little dairy product snag. I forgot to ask Carly how much it pays, but I'll bet I'd make a lot of money at it. I'd pull my Tesla with the 80-pound cheese wheels up to my specialty cheese chalet, roll the wheels in and check the cheese. I'd drain the blue cheese, check the colors and the sponginess on the others, cut away the extra curds and open for business. Yes, ma'am, may I help you? You're interested in a soft cheese with a buttery taste? Here, try a taste of this. It was made by Monk. No, not Monks. Monk, Tony Shalhoub. The television detective with OCD. I have OCD. Here's a funny little story. I once cleaned a restaurant I worked in for 48 hours straight. I fell asleep while vacuuming. Yeah, really? Oh, you're late for work, huh? You'll come back. Sure, no problem. Sir, how can I help you? Oh, you want to try a little taste of this cheese here? It's a medium hard cheese. Here, I'll cut it in the shape of SpongeBob SquarePants for you. That reminds me of a funny little story. I used to make these comedy videos to get people through the time of COVID-19. They're still available on my website, which is paulapoundstone.com. Just click on the RX Videos tab. I did a character named Rhonda Puckett. She had a cooking show called Cooking with Rhonda. And when it was easy to get produce but hard to get oatmeal, she showed people how to make an apple with oatmeal in it on a stick. She drilled a hole through the apple to put the oatmeal in, and of course, well, it was me. I nearly took my hand off with the drill. Oh, your wife is calling. I didn't even hear your phone ring. Huh. Ma'am, may I help you? Before I give you a cheese sample, I'd like to tell you a funny little story.
Okay. Well,
it's really a perfect venue for me.
Yeah, well,
Adam, answer the phone.
What?
Answer the phone.
Paula, we're at the end of a very satisfying interview. I'm pretty much done here.
No, the phone's ringing. Answer the phone.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Hello?
Hey, Adam. It's Mac. Mac LaPierre here. Mac and Cheese, my friends. I gotta tell you, Adam.
Oh, hi, Mac.
Oh, the cheesemonger. Oh, my gosh. That was beautiful.
You liked her.
I love the whole cheesemonger just so. You're gonna have to stop me. It's beautiful.
Stop, Mac.
Beautiful.
Okay. I'll happily stop you. Mac, I'm kind of surprised because you don't strike me as an artisan cheese kind of guy. You strike me as the kind of guy who'd be happy to melt some Velveeta on some nachos.
No. You got me all wrong, Adam. Anything involving cheese. Anything, you know, you're hitting me where I live. All right, gotta go.
Okay, thank you, Mac. By the way, for those of you keeping score, Mac LaFontaine, LaFierre, he was our 80th caller.
Yeah.
Coming up, we have a real life nobody on the phone, and we're going to find out what makes them tick. That's when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. And we're back. Thank you again to house band and nobody, Dustin Moberg.
Hey, Adam, we are lucky enough to have Kelly Houseman, who generously made the high bid to join us on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, to benefit the Chris Everett Charities. Kelly, I'm going to guess there wasn't a huge bidding war, because nobodies are special. There aren't millions of them.
Right, there aren't. But we have fantastic exchanges with our nobodies on our Facebook page and through email, and some have even been our house band, as is the case with Dustin Moberg. So we know you're talented. We never get to actually talk to you, though. So, Kelly, we'd like to take advantage of having you on with us to get to study a nobody in the wild.
Fantastic. Yes, I love it.
We've prepared some questions, Kelly. Actually, before we even begin, what do you do for a living?
I am a mental health counselor.
Oh, really? Ooh.
Yeah. I have my own practice here in the Detroit area.
This has got to be, how much does it involve Motown?
You know, I love the Motor City, Motown. We are maybe 10 minutes from Detroit, so a lot. It's pretty heavy here. My husband's a physician, so we've dealt with a lot of COVID. We've got hit pretty hard.
Oh
dear.
Oh, no, I meant in your mental health practice, how much you use Motown music?
Oh, you know, I have not yet, but I love the suggestion. It is not too late for that. I'm going to put that on a client.
Gotta tell you, Kelly, if I was that polite about every one of Paula's suggestions, I'd never get out of the house in the morning.
I just think
when you work in the mental health field and you live even 10 minutes outside of Detroit, how can you go without using the song "I Second That Emotion"?
Yeah.
I know. I love that.
Emotion. All right, Kelly, we're gonna ask you some penetrating
or
questions.
Try a little Ambien.
Sure. You know, either one, whatever works.
Try a little Ambien. Okay, good.
All right, so this is gonna help us get a feel for who our nobodies are.
And Kelly, are a nobody. You've been listening for a while, I take it.
Yes, I love you guys. It's really exciting to be on here, and I'm ready for your questions.
All right, here we go. Dachshund, golden doodle, or parakeet?
Golden doodle.
Oh, that surprises me. That really surprises me. Okay, Kelly, sandals with socks are not a reason for concern.
They are a big reason.
And that's from a mental health professional. Red flag, people.
Final answer.
No, that really surprises me.
Really?
Because maybe it's my age. I don't know. I just finally, like within the last, I don't know, several years, I suppose, I have gotten to wear, sometimes there's a temperature that, you know, sometimes it's a little bit brisk, but it's not cold. And socks and sandals are the perfect combination.
Are they?
Yeah.
No, Paula, they're not. I mean, it's like asking if you're going to go out wearing a jacket, should you sunblock up your torso? I mean, what's the point? It's just...
Well, the point is that it's not cold, but it's still a little bit brisk. And so you want to have the sandal, but you know... That's my point.
Kelly, I'm with you, Kelly.
Kelly, my point is clear. This really surprises me. It's going to turn out that nobodies are like the polar opposite of me. all right, how about this one? No, I know we're simpatico on this one. Masks or global annihilation?
Oh, gosh.
So this is really...
For the sake of humanity, I have to go with the mask.
I can't believe you were like on the fence for even a second on that.
It took a second, but
I'm going to go with that too.
Yeah, I think you made the right choice, you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think so.
Okay. All right. Here's one. There's not even either or. Nuts.
Sure. Yeah.
Wow.
You were stunned by the question, by the depth of the question.
Health professional, how do you feel about the word itself?
You know, it depends on what context. If we're talking like a nut medley, I'm down for it. Nuts, crazy. I don't know. I might lean out of those.
Yeah, no.
Depending on the context, though.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. I absolutely meant it as a food source.
Oh.
There you go. I'm all for it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Kelly, tiki birds at Disney.
Yes.
Enjoyable or should be released into the wild?
Oh, gosh. My bleeding heart for animals says just release them into the wild.
Okay, you two. They're not real birds. They're animatronic birds with amusing accents. in the tiki room, outside of which is sold a unique Dole pineapple soft serve ice cream. There's no, this isn't even a question.
It's a question.
But they've never been outside of their room.
They're robots.
They deserve to see the Florida sun.
You're both insane.
Kelly, you are so sensitive that you would even have a robotic bird released.
I would.
I return to the previous question. Nuts?
More dip? All right. That's what I'm going to say when I host the Cheesemonger Awards. Okay, double stuff Oreos or standard stuff Oreos?
Oh, that's not even a question. Well, you have to go with the mega stuffed now. Those are even better. So if I have to pick double stuff, but normally, have you seen the mega stuffed ones? They're like triple or quadruple the amount.
It didn't seem
those
like the right ratio to me. So I've not really, but I have definitely done the double stuff and the chocolate covered. I never see those at all anymore because apparently they just killed too many people.
those are so good.
Okay.
You got some questions,
Adam?
I got a couple questions
because although questions about Golden Doodles, Oreos, and Global Annihilation are pertinent, we have an actual nobody on the show. So I want to ask you the kind of things that get discussed on our Facebook page, which
is... I'm getting a very clear picture.
I know you
of
are.
This core sample, nobody.
But if it's okay with you, Paula, I just want to ask her a couple of questions, which is, so Kelly, you've been listening. What are the favorite things that you have that you'd like to hear us do on the show?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, whether it's Thomas Coyne.
I can't imagine what that might be.
This is so much pressure.
I can't even imagine who might enjoy on the show, Kelly.
Mrs. Culpepper, stop trying to put your thumb on the scale. You don't have thumbs.
Kelly, do you notice my ruby red dress? I'm wondering. It's especially beautiful today.
No, if it's the collars or the hand puppets or the movie reviews or the segments involving Captain Crinkle, is there anyone that stands out to you as like, I want to hear that?
I'm a pretty big entertainment buff, so movie reviews, pop culture, things like that are kind of
great. And what should we stop doing?
Wait a minute. Let's just back up a minute.
Gosh.
What?
Did you think that my description, what was the Tom Cruise movie we did, Adam?
Tom Cruise movie.
Was it
Mission Impossible 5, I think?
Oh my God. Did you think that my description
Maybe.
Tom Hanks's nipples as Reese's peanut butter cups, did you think that was accurate?
Wow.
Oh my gosh, you know? Yeah, it painted a picture. I didn't even need to see the visual. I could just see your voice
That's
took
a
me
very
there.
Specific so, yes. question. But yes. but no, Kelly, what do you need us to stop doing?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's so much negativity in the world. Like, we can turn on the news or go on social media and get garbage right now. So you guys just keep doing what you're doing now. It's nice for an escape, to laugh at things. We need this. So don't change anything. Just keep going and making us laugh because we need less seriousness right
you
now.
You even think there's not too much like Bonnie Burns on the show?
Okay. No, keep going with it. Do your thing.
It's a random question out of nowhere.
Okay. I want to double up on our Bonnie Burns.
I kind of do too.
Thank you, Paul.
I agree. I second that.
I want to have the same ratio of Bonnie Burns that I have of Oreo stuffing. That's how I feel about
We've kind of got double stuff already, but if you want to go to mega stuff, I'm in favor.
Okay. I might have to. You know what? I might have to at least check those out. That's a good idea, Kelly. Maybe for next week,
really
I'll do
good.
A little taste test on the...
You have to.
When I go to the cheesemonger, I'll stop by the cookie aisle and get some... Stuff Oreos. Well, I cannot thank you enough for joining us and for contributing to the Chris Evert Charities.
Of course.
And this was really fun.
Thank you so much, Kelly.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Kelly.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
So that's what the nobodies are like.
Well, that's what one nobody is like.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, but the thing is that we couldn't get her to say anything she disliked about the show. And I'm curious to know whether it was because she was being polite to us because we were on the show or whether, unlike a lot of nobodies, she doesn't have any problems with any part of the show.
No, I think she's a... Kelly sounded like a really positive person,
mm-hmm.
And seemed to see the value of that in life, especially at this time.
Yeah.
So I think... Whereas many of our listeners do write in to Facebook, and we'll find out on Mailbag, but...
Mailbag!
thank you. There are some people with some complaints.
Oh, that was my point. I thought that maybe inside the soul of every nobody, there was... That one moment when they're on the highway on the way to work and they just hear that segment and go like, oh, my God, are we really talking about the Tri-Poly blend again?
Yeah. Although, no, I don't think they ever think that. No, because a lot of people are really impressed with the Tri-Poly blend because it's remarkably soft. And it's what my T-shirts are made out of. They're made of a remarkably soft Tri-Poly blend.
It is remarkably soft, full stop.
And they have a self-portrait on the left breast and a memorable quote on the back.
And that part is true as well.
At this point, they're limited edition because this particular quote, which I can't even remember off the top of my head, the memorable quote, I'm going to change it soon.
Are you really?
I am. And what can I say? People, collect them all.
Get them now while you can. We'll be back with more Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone after this. Fun fact, in the state of Utah, it's literally illegal to curse in front of a dead person, which led to multiple arrests at Salt Lake City Cemetery Repertory Theater's production of The Big Lebowski.
Adam!
Adam! Yeah!
Answer the phone.
Really?
Yeah, answer the phone.
Kind of winding down, I thought.
Answer the phone.
All right. Hello. Hello. You're on. Hello. Well, nobody listens to Paula Poundstone.
Hello, Adam. Am I the 100th caller?
No, I believe you're caller number 81 right now.
It's me, Winnie Rose Feynman, and I'm so excited to talk to you.
Okay.
Adam, Bryan Cranston is gonna shit. I am so mad at him for starring in a production of Love Letters. Before we could get the rights, this'll show him.
Well, yeah, Winnie, for our listeners who don't know you, yes.
Yes.
You have roped me into somehow, and I'm getting legal letters about this. I got a summons the other day to doing a production of A.R. Gurney's Love Letters, and then at some theater on Long Island, and then it turned out that...
The Herschel Bernardi Jr. Community Theater on Huntington... Long Island.
Right. And then it turned out that whether or not I wanted to do this, Bryan Cranston, during this stay-at-home order, the quarantine, has scooped us, as it were, by doing a production of that online.
The bastard.
Yeah, well.
He did. I thought I liked Bryan Cranston, but I don't like him anymore, I'll tell you that.
Okay, Winnie, that's fine.
Did you get the script I sent you for Zoom Breaking Bad?
Yes, I did. Winnie.
I sent it to Tony Anita Hall. What day did you get it?
I don't remember what day I got it. I just know that I got it along with a court order that I had to rehearse it with you, which was a little weird. I mean, people get stalkers. That happens every once in a while. But Winnie, you've actually engaged some legal help in this.
I'm not stalking you, Adam. I'm rehearsing with you. All right, let's rehearse. Do you have your script there?
Winnie, I just want to say I haven't read it yet, but I'm already super uncomfortable. But I will read it. This is a production of Breaking Bad.
No, it's, you know what? You're going to be very, very good in this. I have a strong feeling about this.
Okay.
You begin. Do you see where it says Walt? You are Walt, and I am Skyla.
Okay, here we go.
Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead, fine. Walt. I'm going to use your stage know. Just go ahead, Walt.
Thank you. Okay,
so
here
you can
I go.
Be more in character.
No,
you know,
I
whatever.
Get it, Winnie.
Okay, go ahead, Walt.
Okay. Here I go. I am so upset that I have cancer. I need a hobby to distract myself.
Well, it better not be manufacturing methamphetamine. Skyla begins working in the kitchen.
Of course, I'm not going to manufacture methamphetamine. Why would you say that?
We hear pots clanging as she rummages in a cabinet. Walt, I can't find my pot. Are you using it to manufacture methamphetamine?
Skylar, stop saying that. No, of course not. I would never do anything that would endanger this family. I love you, Skylar. I love everything about you. I always have. Sometimes I think about just kissing you all over. Every last part of you. Slowly. And I get weak in the knees.
This is really good, Adam.
I don't want to do this.
Keep going, Walt. Keep going.
I love you. When you go downtown on me, I have to hold on to the sheets or I'll fly to the moon. They played that Petula Clark song at the grocery store when I went to pick up celery and milk, and I had to go to the men's room.
You don't have to manufacture methamphetamine, Walt. There are other hobbies. Walt moves towards Skylar.
Okay.
Takes her in his arms, presses his lips to hers.
Really?
His fingers lift her dress.
Oh, Jesus.
And his weenie bulges at his zipper.
What?
No, Adam, it's oh my God.
Okay, I see it. Oh my God, I love you.
You could always collect stamps. They just put out a series with highways on them. And the lights go out.
Oh my God.
Oh, Adam, Netflix is gonna hound us for a deal with this powerful work, but let's hold out.
Winnie, I don't even have a vocabulary to express how uncomfortable reading that scene with you made me.
Well, you were very good. I could really feel... I could really feel your weenie pushing
on
the zipper.
No! I don't want to hear that, Winnie! Oh, God, no!
I could really feel... What I liked about your performance is how you restrained yourself. You didn't just... You know, it wasn't over the top. I like that a lot. It was restrained. It was, you could feel the emotion.
Really?
Without, oh, it was beautiful.
Winnie,
it,
this
I'm
is,
telling you,
this
Netflix
is one of the single worst thing that's ever happened to me. I can't believe that I had to read that scene with you. It was just, it was indecent. And to be frank with you, it felt like a fan fantasizing about some dialogue they wanted to have with someone they admired.
Yeah. No, that's not what it was.
Wait, no, that's exactly what it was.
No, what I did was I took Breaking Bad and I made it Zoom Breaking Bad. I'm telling
you,
Bryan Cranston is going to shit. Look, I keep working on it, and I like how you kept it, you know, how you kept it kind of tight. I like that. So yeah. Keep working on it. Try to make it more and more real. I'm going to have to go.
I'm going to have to lawyer up.
It was really good talking with you, Adam. That was fantastic. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm going to have to lawyer up. Okay, well, wow. So that happened, Paula.
Yeah, boy, you were good.
What?
Yeah, you were really good. You know, really underplayed.
That didn't bug you at all?
In what way?
Well, like, as my friend, even. Just the fact that this random, somewhat crazed fan is making me perform overtly sexual scenes with her on
Adam,
the air.
Adam, when people are actors and actresses, don't let Lady Gaga and what was the guy she performed with?
Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, don't let that fool you. They're just actors. There's an actor and an actress.
Yeah, but I'm not an actor.
You were in that scene.
A legally compelled podcast host. No.
No, you were powerful.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that.
That was really fantastic. Okay. If they do another Breaking Bad, you're in.
I don't want to be. Speaking of hotel subs, though, Paula, we want to hear from all our nobodies, so they can email us at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com if you want to submit some
Adam,
your
answer
scenes.
The phone.
What?
Adam, Adam, answer the phone.
As long as it's not Winnie again, please tell me it's not Winnie again.
I don't know who it is. Answer the phone. How am I supposed to know? I'm not. Go ahead.
Hello.
Answer the phone.
Hello, Adam. This is Gladdy Pilgrim. Am I the 100th caller?
You're not. You're caller number 82, Gladdy, but you might not believe this, but I'm...
Sticks.
Oh, don't swear in front of me, Gladdy. For all we know, there's a Utah here.
I took time away from baking a cake for my future coworkers to make this call. Oh.
Future coworkers? Oh, you mean the Supreme Court? You're the caller who believes that you're baking a cake for the members of the Supreme Court, which you are soon to join.
Yes, I am. And I'm giving the largest piece to Kavanaugh and the smallest piece to Chief Justice Roberts. Cake justice is not blind, Adam. Okay. We have got to get him out of there, Adam. His cheese is coming off his burger. I don't know why Julia Roberts ever married him.
I'm pretty sure that Julia Roberts never did marry Chief Justice John Roberts.
I think they did. He's Chief Justice Roberts, and she's Julia Roberts.
Yeah, but there's a distinct possibility that there's more than one set of Roberts out there.
You don't think he married Eric Roberts, do you? Oh,
no.
That explains everything. Oh, my gosh, no. We have got to get him out of there. I told the president that I will replace Chief Justice Roberts at any time. May it please the Lord for me to please the court. I am ready to hear oral arguments, which I much prefer to the other kind.
You prefer oral arguments to what other kind?
You know.
No, Gladdy, I don't know.
Oh, I hate to say it. Anal.
Oh, my God. No, for Christ's sakes, Gladdy, there's no such thing as anal arguments.
There is two. Which one of us has been studying to be the new Chief Justice? I have, Adam.
Okay.
Now, I would love to hang out with you after the game, but whereas, and I hope you heard that word, whereas.
I have.
Because it's one of my Supreme Court vocabulary words that I have seamlessly incorporated into my conversational speech.
Debatable.
Whereas I am not the 100th caller and have so much work to do, I will have to recess right now. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Wow. And, with that, Gladdy Pilgrim has recessed. Paula, how are you feeling about Gladdy Pilgrim these days?
I think my guess is she's going to end up on the Supreme Court.
It's distinctly possible. In any case, as I was saying, if you want to submit something to our theme song contest or a vocabulary song, feel free. Again, that's nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com.
And remember, my store is at paulapoundstone.com. You can get the Poundstone Pussy Pillows, which are 4x5. I've been 4.5x5. Apparently, I've been diminishing the size when I describe them here. They're 4.5x5 inches.
Oh, and that extra half inch is pure bliss for your kitty.
It is. And they have a grommet in case you want to tie a string around it and pull it for the cat. But it's a little pillow of catnip. And on one side, there is a cat joke. And the other side, I am happy to autograph it to your cat. And if you go to paulapoundstone.com to the store, you can, there's an online form, that you can fill out and put in the name of your cat for me to sign it. Also, my book, The Totally Unscientific Study of the Search for Human Happiness. And, oh, most importantly, prescription laughter videos, my comedy videos that I've been making during the stay-at-home order are available at paulapoundstone.com.
And just as a plug and also an apology, a lot of you know that I have taken advantage of the marketing niche created by the fact that Paula Poundstone does not actually tie a string to the grommet on her offensively titled Poundstone Pussy Pillows. And I've taken advantage of that by offering my own, less offensive, Felber's Feline Fun Bags, where you send me a pussy pillow, I return it with a string attached to the grommet and an autograph. And that's a Felber Feline Fun Bag. The bad news is that our first customer, nobody, Brooke Giddings, sent me a video the other day. And apparently, after several weeks of fun time play with her cat, the Felber Feline Fun Bag string attached to the grommet broke. Brooke, I promise to refund the cost of your Felber Feline Fun Bag string. And it is quite disheartening to see the video of the cat suddenly realizing that it was no longer playing with its owner, thanks to the breaking of the string. I will, in future, any of you who want a Felber Feline fun bag, I will use a higher grade of string or twine on that fun bag.
Yeah, this is exactly why I didn't provide the string. You can find me and Adam on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We're all over the place. And check out our Facebook page at Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
That's our show. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam the Felber. Special thanks to our guests, Carly Lisk and Kelly Houseman. And thanks to our house band, Dustin Moberg. We really appreciate that. Our show is produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Mixing by Michael Hoagie. Thanks to former intern Doug. We didn't mention Doug Burns on the show tonight, but again, his murder was mysterious. I recently learned that Doug had a falling out with our new host, Starburns Productions, headed by Land Romo, who's in our credits tonight, too. Apparently, Land and Doug had a falling out. We'll get back to that at a future date. Technical direction by Jessica Gutierrez. Transcription services for the show provided by TranscribeMe, a premier internationally used transcription service. Use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com to receive an expedited service.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
Yeah, I was sorry to sandwich that in on the end, but I recently reserved.
It stunned me. So,
well, you know, we moved to Starburns Audio, and apparently Doug and Land never hit it off.
Wow. So Land is what, a person of interest in the Doug Burns?
I've just received. I don't know if he's a person. I mean, I'm interested, but that's all I know.
Wow. Huh. Yeah, so they found him. He was photographed by Annie Leibovitz. Is that correct?
Doug was, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, Doug was photographed by Annie Leibovitz. They found a copy of your novel, the corner of the novel fit into the dent in the side of Doug's head.
That could be it. He could have fallen onto the book after he'd been murdered.
Yeah. When was the last time you heard about somebody falling onto a book that left a dent in their head?
Well, you never know. It's a substantial work.
Although sometimes when I read late at night and then I fall asleep, that's why I don't like a hardcover book, because it'll just drop right down on my head. It hasn't ever actually killed me.
Yet.
Yeah, right? Oh, boy. Can you hear my dog barking?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, she was so close to Doug.
Starburns Audio, a podcast network.